Thank you, Emiko. Grateful to be here with you and grateful to be here with our beautiful Sangha from all over the country. Thank you all for being here together. Let's see here. Just want to go ahead and begin by doing a centering practice. And before our centering practice through chanting, I want to go ahead and do a land acknowledgement. And just going ahead and taking a moment to notice where your body's making contact with the floor or with your chair. Just touching into the body as I just want to offer that reminder that we are connected to the history of this land that we live and work on. And our histories are interwoven. With this land acknowledgement, we honor the traditions, the cultures, and stories of the original peoples of the land we inhabit, and their ongoing current struggles for self and collective determination. Please take a moment to consider the many legacies of violence, displacement, migration, and settlement that bring us together here today. And to enable our collective healing, may these truths be unearthed and set us free. Where I am on is unceded Ramatush Ohlone land, and wherever you are, wherever we are, may we honor the wisdom and knowledge of the people who have stewarded the land that we live and work on since time immemorial, and who continue to have an intimate relationship with this land. If you happen to live and work in the East Bay, and please consider paying the Shumne land tax, which supports the restoration of a land base for the Ohlone people who are indigenous to the East Bay. And wherever we are, we honor again the knowledge of the indigenous people and their intimate understanding of the land with deep gratitude and appreciation for their connection that is so deeply needed in our world today. Gonna invite us into centering through this chant. I'll go ahead and post it in the chat if you'd like to chant in your space along. You can also, the options is you can also just listen if you like. You can hum along. Just many ways to participate. My teacher Tanisra says, when talks about the devotion of our practice, of our lineages, so much of that healing powers in the devotional practices like chanting. Again, touching into the body. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. And chanting the refuges. Buddham saraṇam gacchāmi. Dhammam saraṇam gacchāmi. Sangham saraṇam gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddham saraṇam gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammam saraṇam gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sangham Sanam Gacchami. Tatyampi Buddham Sanam Gacchami. Tatyampi Dhammam Sanam Gacchami. Tatyampi Sangam Sanam Gacchami. Thank you, dear ones, for practicing in that way. Yeah, so today I would like to offer a share specific to my reflections from my March month long retreat that I just came out of last month with my Dharma sibling Emiko, that I was so grateful to be on the land with. And, you know, my purpose is to share the gifts of healing and insight I received from my month-long retreat and share the benefits I experienced from concentration, practice, metta, and awareness, as well as connect my retreat experience to what's happening in Gaza. And what's happening in Palestine today. And I'd just like to go ahead and offer that, you know, whatever I share, please really receive and, you know, take on what's useful, what's valuable, and leave what's not useful and what's not valuable, you know. So in addition to concentration, metta, and awareness practices, you know, I really felt the support and guidance of my ancestors while on retreat, especially my mom, who entered the ancestral realm 2 years ago, and felt the support of spirit and my Dharma siblings, like I mentioned, Emiko and a couple of other siblings, and the BIPOC affinity group that was practicing together 3 times a week. You know, I felt the support and guidance of the land, the trees, the water of the creek, which was the fullest I've ever seen it while at Spirit Rock. I've never seen the creek so full. The coyotes, most I've ever seen there. The deer, the turkeys, the peacock. I think the peacock, is the peacock named Tina, Emiko? Okay, Tina, the peacock. The lizards, the egret, you know, the hills, the air, the sunshine, the sky. Just all the beings supporting my time there. You know, concentration, which is samadhi in Pali, it's this practice of gathering and collecting the mind towards stillness and towards one-pointedness. And it was mindfulness of breathing, particularly, was the way I was practicing, and also one of the alternatives in which we can cultivate this kind of concentration. And if the breath was not available for any reason, mindfulness of sounds was the alternative practice. In the Samyukta Agama, an early text of Buddhist teachings, it says, "What is right concentration? It is reckoned to be the establishing of the mind in the absence of distraction. It being firm, collected, tranquil, concentrated, and mentally unified." In the Majjhima Nikaya, one of the books of the Pali Canon, it says, "Concentration falls away when these states arise. doubt, inattention, sloth and torpor, fear, elation, inertia, excess of energy, deficiency of energy, and longing. Like, in other words, concentration and mindfulness of breathing and or mindfulness of sounds calms the hindrances and unwholesome states when they arise, when they pop up. You know, so we were in that place of concentration practice, just the introduction of it and cultivating that in the first, for the first 10-ish days. And then we transitioned the primary focus with metta, which is the practice of cultivating goodwill and friendliness for self, others, and all beings. It's the foundation for and one of the four Brahma Viharas, or divine abodes. The other three being Karuna, which is compassion, and Mudita, which is appreciative joy, and Upekkha, which is equanimity. A classical way to practice is to offer metta for a benefactor, a mentor, loved one, and then to oneself, and then a neutral person, a difficult person, and then finally to all beings. You know, for example, we can offer metta to all beings with a phrase like, you know, may all beings be safe, healthy, and happy. My favorite line in the Karaniya Metta Sutta is the image of a mother and child. It says, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. And then, even though you can practice any of these three practices throughout the retreat at any day, there was the third part, the last 2 weeks, was primarily centered around awareness practice, which involved the practice of actually resting, recognizing and resting in awareness. So if concentration is awareness of breath or awareness of sounds, this awareness practice is the practice of awareness of awareness. You know, I can practice being aware of my breath, and I can also practice knowing that awareness of breath is happening. You know, it's like, oh, here I am watching my breath. And then if I take a step back, I can watch myself, watch my breath, and resting in that watchfulness. Right. So resting in the knowing of experience is the practice of awareness. And, you know, you don't have to be actually on a month-long retreat to experience that. We can actually experience this in daily life. You know, there's experience of this. It's just like right there. It's happening all the time. It's just the practice of recognizing it's there is the thing that is, you know, up and down. That we can cultivate more consistency with resting and awareness. Tanisra, in her book Listening to the Heart, says, as mindfulness strengthens, the ability to contemplate desire becomes more continual. That which knows desire is not desire. As is taught by the masters of the forest school, it is important to see the difference between mind and the activity of mind. Desire is an activity of mind. Mind itself has a knowing nature. This knowing, which is the opposite of ignorance, is called visya. And visya is the innate intelligence of awareness. Ajahn Chah taught being the knowing as an immediate way of connecting to our deeper nature. Yeah, so this awareness practice is resting in the knowing. Resting in the knowing of our experience of breath, our experience of sound. Within Dzogchen, a tradition of teachings within Tibetan Buddhism, Lama Shabkar speaks to the nature of mind. He says, not being fixed as something, mind is beyond presence and absence. It neither comes nor goes, gets born nor dies, is illuminated nor obscured. I love this line right here. This is my experience on retreat. Mind's nature is vivid as a flawless piece of crystal, intrinsically empty, naturally radiant, ceaselessly responsive. Stripped bare of samsaric error, mind itself is surely and always Buddha. You know, awareness practice is this practice of being aware and resting in this empty, radiant, and responsive nature of our mind, as described by Lama Shabkar. And it's this nature my teacher Margarita Loynes describes this nature also as timeless awareness and the ground of our being. So it's both the timeless awareness and ground out of which everything arises and passes away. During the retreat, when my mind was concentrated and still, there were just periods where I can see things as they truly were. And those periods got longer and longer and longer and more regular. I can see the cause of suffering and how I was causing the suffering, and then also how to alleviate it. On day 10 of the retreat, I was practicing metta for myself in the morning, during walking meditation in the woods. After the first few minutes, my awareness took me back to a very painful season in my life. It was actually quite surprising. I have 20 years of recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. And as I say that, one of my teachers, Shahara Godfrey, who's a teacher at East Bay Meditation Center and also Spirit Rock, who's also an ancestor, and just always encouraging me and reminding me that there is no set, excuse me, dealing with severe allergies this past week. And so it's cleansing right now. There's no separation between my recovery, my life in recovery, and my life in the Dharma. You know, she just really gave me, invited that freedom to practice in that way. You know, so I revisited the darkest years of when I was actively using and numbing myself. This is like, you know, probably like 30 years back, something like that. Like when I was like really at the heart of it, the heart of the darkness. And there was a very thick layer of fossilized emotions and trauma that was surfacing. You know, it included grief and shame, guilt, and deep sadness, you know, related to how I was hurting myself and causing my mom a lot of worry. I don't know. She didn't really know, like, really the ins and outs of what was happening at the time, but from the outside, I knew it was causing her worry, which I actually couldn't feel at that time because I was medicating myself. And on that walking meditation, I was crying like a baby. You know, all the fossilized emotions of those dark years came up like a giant wave from deep inside me. And then passed away all within that 45-minute walking period while I was amongst the trees, the sunshine, the waters of the creek. All of them, all those beings supporting my practice. And after that giant wave passed, I just Right then in that moment, I reached out to my mother. And when I reached out, she met me there. She met me in my heart. And I heard just the whisper in a quiet voice, it's okay. I understand. You're a good son. I love you. And there's just deep joy like that just filled every part of me up in that moment. And then for that, yeah, that just rippled out through that day and through that week. I love this line by Rumi. Rumi says, "The hurt you embrace becomes joy." That's what I had in that moment, you know. Here's a poem by Rosemary Wattola Traumer called Becoming. And sometimes it might be helpful for people, like sometimes these poems can be better received for if they're also read. So I'll go ahead and post this in the chat. Let's see here. There's in the chat if folks want to go ahead and read along. Becoming, to wake and not want to change anything. To let the heart feel what it feels. To be disarmed, defenseless, and so alive. There are days love claims us so utterly we unfold into the moment. Certain we were made for it. Nothing has prepared us for this, and everything has prepared us for this. And I'm grateful for the wisdom of the body. I spent the first 9 days cultivating concentration, and out of that, the stillness of mind and body created the container for me to let go of what I didn't need from those difficult years. I was ready to turn over the many stones that I didn't even know were there in the first place. My mind was so concentrated and steady, and my heart so open and kind that that giant wave of fossilized emotions passed so easily. During the next 2 weeks, I began to experience longer and more regular periods of, when the story of me, the story of my, the story of I just began to become more and more porous. And it just dissolved and fell away more and more. And when that story of me, that story of just identification of all the different aspects of who I am, became more porous and fell away, there also began to be like no thoughts and no thinking. I remember I'd be practicing at 11, 11:30 at night, close to midnight. And there were times when I would just, many times when I would look at the moon, the clouds and night sky, and hear the coyotes, the frogs, and the waters. And then I would just receive the raw energy and the raw data of all these beings through my senses. And there were no names, no explanations, no words, no concepts. All of these beings were alive in my awareness. Like, oh yeah, I am the moon. I am the clouds. I am the sky. I am the coyotes. All of them. I lost myself, and I was everything around me. And I didn't know that that would also come along, that there would just be a deep state of peace and contentment that would come along with that experience of being a mirror to everything around me. I didn't know that I could have that level of contentment. In the Shirangama Sutra within the Chinese Mahayana lineage, the Buddha said, "The primary misconception about the mind and body is the false view that the mind dwells in the physical body. You do not know that the physical body, as well as the mountains, the rivers, empty space, and the great earth, are all within the wonderful, bright, true mind. As we entered the last week of the retreat, I experienced a challenging situation with three yogis. I'll just say three of the white yogis are white Dharma siblings who broke noble silence and were talking for several minutes in the space we were all sharing. And I say white because, you know, I felt invisible, and it hurt in a way that resembled all the countless times I felt invisible in sharing space with white folks, white relatives, you know, and just them not recognizing how their presence, you know, how they're talking, how they're socializing was impacting my practice. So it was not, of course, it wasn't just like not that act itself, but all the conditioning that came up also that triggered all the other stuff. Okay, I think you all know what I'm talking about. So I witnessed how my calm and happiness was just dissolving, just like instantly, and how my mind got very aversive and hyper-focused on the three retreatants. And then really just entangled in all the different ways I can confront them. And even as an aversive of mind was arising, at the same time, I noticed that I could connect to a deeper stillness beyond the aversion. Like all those previous weeks of practice didn't go to waste. The aversion mind was arising, and it's like, oh, there's still stillness underneath all that. There was a part of me that could see aversion as aversion. Oh, this is aversion. And from this still place, there was just this immediate response, moment response, like just to turn towards self-compassion. And after a few minutes with self-compassion, I began practicing with the phrases, may contentment arise, may happiness arise. And my mind returned to a calm and concentrated state within the next hour. And then I gradually transitioned back to resting in awareness. Like curiosity also rose, and I took the opportunity and I asked the awareness of mind, like that's, you know, as if this is a person, you know, this is a being, awareness of mind. I asked, do I need to do anything to address this situation and say something to these three yogis who were talking? Yeah. And like my mother, like in the similar vibe as my mom, from a deep, still, and quiet place inside me, a timely response emerged and whispered, nothing. You know, that's not me in my ordinary mind. My ordinary mind wants to do a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily, it definitely doesn't want to just do nothing. So I was just like, oh, that's what I did. You know, I received, listened, and followed that message and did nothing. The next day, after the morning instructions, one of the teachers made an announcement. She said, please remember the importance of maintaining and honoring noble silence. I swear I did not say anything to her. You know, when I do the inner work and don't use the energy judging and fixing others, and instead do the work to free myself, then the Dhamma met me and did its part. You know, I took care of my interior condition through self-compassion, and in response, the Dhamma co-created with me and took care of the external conditions. I returned back to my yogi duty, and there was silence after that announcement. And I was like, thank you. It's a different kind of social change work, you know? Well, it's a different kind of social justice work. It's like, oh, it just gave me a view. It's like, oh, okay. This is one way, and a way to dance with the Dhamma in our change, transformative injustice work, and just even on a micro scale. When I rested in awareness and when I relaxed in the ground of our being, a response emerged that supported the well-being of everyone involved. Here's a poem by Juan Ramon Jimenez that points to our true and deeper nature. Now I'm going to go ahead and share this one too in the chat. Let me see if you want to read along. Go ahead and see here. Okay. Just doing some adjustments here to reformat my screen so I can read this. Okay. I Am Not I by Juan Ramon Jimenez. I am not I. I am this one, walking beside me whom I do not see, whom at times I manage to visit, and whom at other times I forget. The one who remains silent while I talk. The one who forgives sweet when I hate. And the one who takes a walk when I am indoors. The one who will remain standing when I die. This reminds me of just kind of like this deathless, timeless awareness of and our true nature of who we are, beyond our body, beyond our mind, beyond our heart, beyond our emotions. There exists this boundless part of us that has no beginning and end. So what's the effect of the retreat during my post-retreat time, in daily life? And I've noticed how my retreat experience affects how I relate to what's happening in Gaza. Specifically, you know, how does the concentration metta and awareness practice affect my relationship to what's happening in the Middle East between Palestine and Israel? You know, when I have the experience of emptiness, you know, the emptiness of self, like it, and that I am everything, it just allows me and reminds me about the phenomenon of experience and how they arise due to causes and conditions, that the nature of all phenomenon are empty. And because of their empty nature, it has to rely on causes and conditions to arise. So Jonathan here, right here, standing with you all, being here with you all, arises due to causes and conditions. It's amazing my mom and my dad found each other as much as they don't like each other. Amazing that they created this being here and all the other countless conditions that made that happen. Wow. And then all of us here together in Sangha tonight, arising due to causes and conditions, despite our separate Dharma paths and journeys. You know, as of today, at least 34,012 people have been killed and 76,833 wounded in Israeli attacks on Gaza since October 7th. The death toll in Israel from Hamas's October 7 attack stands at 1,139, with dozens of captives held in Gaza. What's happening in Gaza today arises due to causes and conditions. And I just, you know, wanted to say this explicitly because, you know, the institutions and media of our dominant culture just often regularly give us an ahistorical, non-contextual presentation of what's happening and exclude the causes and conditions, which there are countless. You know, for example, during the Nakba of 1948, 750,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed from their land, which was essential in the founding of Israel. In the Balfour Declaration of 1917, British colonial powers decided that the land of Palestine was to become a national home for Jewish people. And the ideology of Zionism perpetuates violence against Palestinians. Palestinians have been living under an Israeli military occupation for decades, with Israel having one of the most powerful militaries in the world, supported by $300 billion of US support since Israel's founding in 1948. Palestine not even having a official state or regular army and has a number of armed resistance groups. So emptiness grounds me, this body, in the reality that what's happening in Gaza did not start on what happened on October 7th. And there are countless causes and conditions. Everything that we can see and experience can be broken down into parts. All phenomenon are dependently arisen and they are relative. Their existence depends on other causes and conditions. Things don't exist isolated. And again, there is a dominant culture narrative that they do. Concentration and emptiness practices led me to a profound sense of interconnectedness. And with that deep feeling of interconnection comes a greater and growing compassion for what's happening in Gaza. After a week into the retreat, just a lot of tears and grief were flowing over what's happening in Palestine, and what's happening between Palestine and Israel. Compassion, the expression of metta when it meets suffering, is that action of continuing to call for. And, you know, I have Dharma siblings who have just more recently formed this new organizing group, Buddhists for Justice in Palestine, calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, an end to U.S. military aid to Israel, a release of all prisoners, an end to Israeli military occupation of Palestinian territory and land, and the right of return for all Palestinian refugees. I'd like to close with a video of spoken word artist activist Rafif Syed Ziada, who shared her poem, "We Teach Life, Sir." And this was actually in 2011. And I picked this because it's just still so resonant and relevant 13 years later. And my friend Emiko will go ahead and share that. Thank you, Sangha, for receiving. Just taking a moment to see how the body feels from receiving her words. And as we, I wanted to close, share with that, and then begin to transition into meditation practice. And as we're practicing, I just wanted to go ahead and just let you all know about options. You know, I'm going to go ahead and experiment, including a little bit of movement, some concentration practice, some metta practice, and then resting in awareness in this 30-ish minute period. And just an open invitation to, you know, if you land in concentration and just want to stay with that for the all 30 minutes, and that feels good, just want to go ahead and really invite that. When you get to metta, if you want to continue staying with metta, great. If you want to go ahead and try a taste of all three, also good. So just invitation to go ahead and work with the practice that is cultivating and nourishing you most, you know. And at any time, you can just let my words just be sound and wash over you, and go to the practice that, even if it's not within this realm of concentration, metta, and awareness, go to the practice that's going to take best care of you. Go ahead and sit down in this chair. Would you like to, would it be helpful to spotlight me, Emiko? I'm not sure if that would for everybody. Okay. Yeah, so let's go ahead and just begin by taking our palms to our chest, if that feels okay. Just doing some movement here, arriving on the body with movement. Going ahead and inhaling, extending the arms wide, chest wide. If it feels okay, you can also look up towards the sky, opening up the throat if that feels good for you, breathing in here. And then when we exhale, Go ahead and wrap yourself up with your arms embracing yourself, bringing your chin towards your chest, exhaling. Inhaling, arms wide, chest wide, breathing in, looking up at the sky if you like. And then exhaling, wrapping your arms, other arm on top, chin towards chest. Two more at your own pace. Noticing the sensations in your chest, your arms. Then also noticing sensations around your back, spine. Sending kindness when you inhale to everyone here. And sending kindness towards self when you exhale. And after that last breath out, just relaxing the arms wherever they feel good. Just finding a moment that a posture that feels easeful and steady and relaxed. You can practice either seated, standing, lying down. And whichever posture you choose, just going ahead and inviting observation and noticing around where the body's making contact with the earth, your chair, your bed, feeling the sensations of those supports making contact with your body. And then bring the attention inward. You can have your eyes closed or halfway closed. Just noticing any movement in the body that's happening right now, moment to moment, as you're breathing. You might notice movement in the shoulders as you're breathing. Perhaps movement in the chest, the ribs, maybe the belly. And if you're not noticing any movement, no big deal. Continue resting your attention on your breath or where your body's making contact with the floor or the bed. Or the chair you're sitting on. I invite concentration practice by your mindfulness of breathing. So noticing the breath as you inhale. And noticing the breath when you exhale. And go ahead and explore different doorways to the breath as well. You might want to notice where one doorway is, noticing where you feel the breath the most. Nostrils, chest, ribs, belly. Resting the attention on one of those areas as a way to track the breath. Another doorway is noticing the pauses between the breaths. Noticing when the inhalation turns into the exhalation. And noticing when the exhalation turns into the inhalation. And also notice the note, long breath, when you're noticing a long breath. Short breath when you're noticing a short breath. Perhaps noting in when you're inhaling. And out during the out breath. In on the in breath. Out on the out breath. And if the breath is not available during this time for any reason, feel free to go ahead and rest your attention on the sounds in your physical space. There might be sounds outside your room as well. So mindfulness of sound is the alternative. So we'll go ahead and practice in this way for just the next few minutes. The mind gets distracted by anything. We can go ahead and just simply acknowledge that. With curiosity and kindness, and gently circle our attention back inward towards breath, towards sounds. We can start over at any time. All good.
And just a gentle reminder, you can continue staying with concentration practice, mindfulness of breath and sound. And if you'd like to explore metta practice right now, that's also an invitation. Metta cultivates and supports concentration as well. So I just want to invite you all to go ahead and bring to awareness someone you care about, a benefactor, a loved one, a mentor. Just bring to mind one person, one being. This being is not a person, it could be your favorite tree, mountain, furry friend. Go ahead and bring this person, this being to mind. This benefactor of yours, this loved one, is offering you metta, is offering you kindness. Can you go ahead and receive this metta, this kindness, this care from your benefactor, from your loved one? They are telling you in words, and sometimes not in words, but in some expression and language that is dear to them. Spirit of the words are there. They say, "May you be safe and protected. May you be healthy in mind, body, and heart. May you live with ease and well-being. May you be happy. Just going ahead and receiving this kindness as best you're able, this friendliness, this metta from your benefactor, your loved one. Just noticing how receiving this care, this kindness, this friendliness, how that affects the body. Noticing how that affects the mind and how it affects the heart. And from this place of receiving metta, there's an invitation to go ahead and offer this metta out. Inviting us to radiate this metta outward. This metta that we just received. Radiating it out in the direction in front of us. And as we direct this energy, this spirit of metta out in front of us. We can decide if we want it to go the length of our home, affecting maybe the plants and the people in our home. We can decide if we want to go ahead and extend it out to the length of a block or the length of the town or city that you're living in. You can go ahead and decide how far you want to go ahead and radiate and direct this energy and spirit of metta. Including all the people and all beings within that range. And going ahead and expanding, including radiating metta towards the direction to the right of you. Going the length of your house, your home, your apartment, the length of the block, the city, the town. Continuing to expand, radiating metta in the direction behind you. Feeling the heart, sensations around the heart, the porousness of the heart, expanding the awareness to radiate metta in the direction to the left of you. Expanding, expanding. Directing that metta, that energy. The cosmos. As well as directing, expanding that energy of metta, spirit of metta, in the direction below us. Towards the earth themselves. Continue with this practice of metta. We continue with the practice of concentration of breath. And a wholehearted invitation if you want to experiment and explore awareness practice. Bringing attention to the body. Connecting to the support of the body. Connecting to the bones of the body. Feeling appreciation for the body and the bones and how much they support us. Connecting to the minerals of the bones, and how the minerals of our bones are the same minerals that are found in the earth. That the minerals in our bones connect to the minerals of the earth through gravity. Feeling that groundedness of connection with our body and the earth. Just invite a couple doorways into awareness. You can experiment if you have a practice of your own around this. Fully invite that. Just offering a couple doorways of practice. It's taught by my teacher, Margarita Loynes, and one way is just to go ahead and open up the eyes, be halfway, just in a very relaxed way. The kind of relaxed way as if you're standing on a beach and looking out to the ocean, and you're just taking the whole view, the whole ocean, as you're standing on the beach on a clear blue sky day. Full expanse of the sky and the ocean. It's a soft and easy focus. Imagining your eyes are like windows and just resting your awareness behind the window of your eyes, taking the entire space that you're in. Allowing awareness to take center stage, and you'll still notice perhaps breath and sensations, thoughts, emotions. Allow that to be in the background. And another doorway that you can experiment with is also, if you're noticing any object in front of you, it might be a chair or a table, furniture, a wall. Resting your attention in the space between you and that object in front of you. Resting your attention in space, on space. I'll just offer a couple of phrases if that's also supportive. In practice, saying, awareness is already here, resting in awareness. Awareness is already here, resting in awareness. It doesn't take much, it's just a slight shift. From experience to resting in the one who knows the experience, resting in the knower, resting in awareness of experience. If it feels okay, going ahead and placing one hand on the chest and one hand on the belly. And as the hands are here, just tuning into what areas of the body are moving as we breathe. Invitation to go ahead and offer metta to ourselves as a community, as Sangha, BIPOC Sangha, beautiful BIPOC Sangha. May we be safe and protected from inner and outer harm. May we be healthy in mind, body, and heart. May we live with ease and well-being. May we be happy.
Thank you all for practicing in that way. Appreciate you all. And I see a hand up. Yeah, I think for the next few minutes, we're going to go ahead and open it up for questions and reflections. And yeah, when we share the Dhamma together, when we meditate together, we are accumulating this merit. And I want to invite us to do a collective dedication of merit. Dedicating this value, dedicating this wholesomeness to beings in your life. So, who and what do you want to dedicate the merits of our practice to? And just go ahead and post that in the chat. Here's the prompt. Who and what do you want to dedicate the merits and fruits of our practice to? Oh, you're very welcome, Anita. Grateful to be in Sangha with you. So, if not sharing in the chat, just going ahead and holding who you want to dedicate the merit to in your heart. Okay, thank you. Dedicate the merit to the land and to Megan and to your partner, Elle, Lise, and all the birds who visit your home. Beautiful. To all those in Gaza and the Palestinian diaspora. To everyone dealing with war. To all the folks organizing for freedom in Palestine right now, especially the young folks. To people suffering, seen and unseen everywhere, especially BIPOC people. May the fruits of our practice benefit all beings again, like Erwin said, seen and unseen. Without exception, may all beings be free.